pick up where we left off there in Acts chapter 16, and we'll start in verse 26. Thank you, Jay, for putting this together. It's been a great morning. It's been good to be together to worship our God. Thank you to all the men that have led us in our worship and song today. It is always a great thing to praise our God. I have to say, we've got some visitors with us today who are actually from Ireland. One of the songs that we sang, O Thou Fount of Every Blessing, I've always felt has an Irish feel to it. It's almost like an Irish folk song. I was tempted to sit back by it this morning to hear it sung with a real Irish accent. I would have loved to have heard that this morning, but it's been good to be together. Acts chapter 16, let's read beginning in verse 26 and go down to verse 33. You'll remember that Paul, in his work in Philippi, has been imprisoned because of casting out an evil spirit from a young girl that did divination. And we dealt with in our first lesson what was said in the verse just before, verse 25, that they were singing and praising God and the prisoners were listening to them. Verse 26. Suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's chains were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking from sleep and seeing the prison doors open, supposing the prisoners had fled, drew his sword and was about to kill himself. But Paul called with a loud voice, saying, Do yourself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light, ran in, and fell down trembling before Paul and Silas. And he brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? So they said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, you and your household. Then they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes. And immediately he and all his family were baptized. There's a question that the man asks that I think is a very important question. One that all of us at some point in our life need to confront. And that is the question, what must I do to be saved? You will notice that the response that he is given is that he should believe in Jesus. But it is important to note from this very passage that there were more things involved in what that man and his family must do that were involved in accepting the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. If you'd go with me over to Romans chapter 10, I'd like you to notice that Romans chapter 10 talks to us a little bit about this faith that is in Jesus Christ. And verse 17 addresses the source of that faith. You know, it's not simply that we can believe in anything and everything that we might imagine. We must believe in that which comes from the Word of God. Because as it is taught in Scripture, it is the New Testament, it is the Word of God that produces that faith that is a saving faith. Romans 10 and verse 17 tells us, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When Paul and Silas taught this man and his family, they then learned those things about Jesus that put them in a position to be able to know what they needed to know. Over in Hebrews chapter 11, we understand the importance of faith. And again, it is not simply that we can believe that there is a God. But if we have an idea that somehow suggests that, well, I can just believe anything and that's enough, we need to understand that in order to be pleasing to God, we must have a faith in His Son. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 is the great, chapter 11 is the great chapter of faith. But verse 6 tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I would remind you, though, that in this passage that we read, you remember after Paul spoke to them and taught them about Jesus, did you notice that the passage mentioned that the man took them and washed their stripes? Stripes is a way of referring to the marks that would be left upon the back when one received a lashing or a beating. I don't know if it was the case that this man had been instrumental in laying some of those stripes on the backs of Paul and Silas, But I see it as an indication of something very important, that this man recognized that wrong had been done to these men. They didn't deserve what they had received. And as a result, he wanted to act to correct that. Go with me over to Luke chapter 13 for a moment. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3. When Peter on the day of Pentecost was asked a similar question, when Jesus was first taught, and those who had only a days before been instrumental in crucifying Jesus, when they asked, "What must we do?" He told them to repent and let every one of you be baptized. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, Jesus says, "I tell you, no." He was talking about, well, did bad things happen to these people because they were worse sinners? No, I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. We must hear the word of God and believe in Jesus as the Son of God. But we must choose to repent of sin that separates us from God. Over in Romans chapter 10, I want you to go back to that text that we looked at just a moment ago that talked to us about the source of faith. A few verses before that, in Romans chapter 10, read with me beginning in verse 9, because it talks to us a little bit about faith, but a faith that is not a spoken faith, a faith that is simply held within the heart and never released, is not really the kind of faith that is pleasing and acceptable before God. We see that very clearly in a statement that's made in this chapter. We notice in chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing. But notice some things that were said about faith before that. Romans 10, read with me verse 9. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Notice there, it connects salvation to two things that are involved in our response. We must believe, yes, but we confess with the mouth. Notice it goes on to say in verse 10, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, but with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. We are not told in the account in Acts chapter 16 about the man's confession, but given the fact that the same apostle that taught this man writes to the Romans here in Romans chapter 10 that confession is made unto salvation, can we not assume that this man too confess to faith in Jesus Christ? But I want you to notice as well that the text told us that he washed their stripes and immediately he and all his household were baptized. What is the significance of baptism? Well, we could talk a great deal about that, but I want to take you to one passage, Galatians chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 and 27, in a similar way to what we just saw in Romans chapter 10, draws a connection. We saw a connection in Romans 10 between confession and faith. In Galatians chapter 3, a connection is made between baptism and faith. I want you to notice that with me. Galatians 3, beginning verse 26, it says, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. And notice it doesn't stop there, though. In fact, there's a conjunction at the beginning of the very next verse that says, for as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Can I be saved simply by coming to that point in which in my heart I believe that Jesus is the Christ? Well, we noticed in Romans 10 that that's not the case if I'm not willing to confess it. I want you to notice here that we can say that's not the case if I am not willing to be buried with Christ in the waters of baptism. In Romans chapter 6, Paul describes it as being planted together or united together in the likeness of Jesus' death. That's why we describe it as a burial with Christ in the waters of baptism, so that we might rise to walk in newness of life. But you know, New Testament Christians didn't let their salvation stop at that point. I want to take you to one last passage, Acts chapter 2. Notice with me in Acts chapter 2, let's look together at verse 42. I mentioned a few moments ago that on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, Peter was asked, what shall we do? And he told them to repent and be baptized. But the book of Acts records for us what Christians did from that point onward. And I want you to notice what it says about those that heard that very charge, repent and let every one of you be baptized. Notice verse 42 of Acts 2 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. If I am to be saved, it can't be that I simply at one point in my life, sometime or another, come to a point of faith and never continue in that. Here, as the New Testament Christians did, we see that we must continue steadfastly in the Word of God, continue steadfastly in the teaching of the apostles. And that teaching was not their own. It was what was given to them by inspiration. It was the teaching of Christ that was a part of His teaching. Jesus would declare that we show our love for Him by obeying His commandments. He would tell His disciples, you are my disciples indeed if you abide in my word in the Gospel of John. So what must I do to be saved? I must hear the word of God. I must believe in Jesus as the Son of God. I must repent of sin that separates me from God and have the courage to confess Christ before men. I must then be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. And then, as a child of God, continue steadfastly in the doctrine of Christ. Have you done that this morning? If you have never been obedient to the gospel of Christ, all things are ready and prepared. We could hear your confession of faith, encourage you in your repentance, and baptize you into Christ this very morning. If as a child of God, maybe you started well, but you haven't been continuing steadfastly in the doctrine of Christ, as your brothers and sisters in Christ, we stand ready to encourage you however we may. And if we can, won't you come while we stand and sing?
Father of all, know His soul friend.